also want to put on YouTube that we've been running a parenting seminar here at Westbridge for the past 3 weeks. We want to invite all those parents to come on down and learn along with us. So we've reached a point in our service where we give back to God a small portion of what God has given to us. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and receive our offering as we begin our study tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the way you have supplied for all of the needs that we have here at Westbridge. And I pray that tonight, as we look at how we can have thankful hearts, that we would continue to remember who is the one who supplies all that we have, the very breath that we breathe. And I thank you for the way you have taken care of this church. I pray that you continue to let all that comes in to go back out to serve our community and to serve the message of getting the word out that there is a relationship with the creator of this universe that is waiting for each and every soul who desires to embrace him. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. All right. Now, when I sat down this week to prepare for this message, I thought immediately of Thanksgiving. I thought of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 with its appeal to thankfulness. And I turned to it, and here's what that says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "Thank God, no matter what happens," he said, "this is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live." That's what that verse says. It's an excellent Thanksgiving verse. And as I pondered it, I remembered what one of my old Bible teachers in Bible college said, and he used to say all the time, the smallest unit of thought in the Bible is a paragraph. And what that means is that you need to include what's said before and you need to include what's said after to fully understand and gain an understanding of the passage that you're reading. In 1 Thessalonians 5, where that verse came from, Paul is finishing up his letter that he wrote to the God followers, the Christians, the born-again believers in Thessalonica. They were actually doing very well. They were a good church, and they were doing very well. They were living by the word of God, and they were following the Holy Spirit inside of their hearts, which was urging and guiding them through life. And Paul then gets to these, chapter 5, he gets to these final instructions. It is his final words. It's his last-ditch effort to give them something to direct them and to help them. And here is what he says, starting at verse 14. "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, that you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. And always do your best to bring that out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. And don't suppress the Spirit. And don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw away anything tainted with evil." That's the end of that passage. I look at this passage and I can't help but see a recipe. This is a recipe for how we can cultivate and how we can produce a Thanksgiving heart. A heart that is thankful, a heart that is settled, and a heart that is contented. A satisfied heart and a happy heart. A heart of thanksgiving. Now, this passage is important because it acknowledges and it addresses the reality that we live in. It looks honestly at our lives and addresses real situations that affect our hearts. You see, gang, just because we are a church family, and even though we are each individually following Jesus, That doesn't mean that we are going to dance each day singing gigantic musical numbers together with fireworks going off in the background and everyone moving in perfect harmony with one another as the camera shot pulls back and we are left with all of us standing in utopia. That is not how we will live. Life is way more complicated and way more involved than the joyous ending at the end of every Muppet movie. We want to cultivate a heart of thankfulness. And we want to have a heart that is settled in itself, happily contented. And if we want to do that, we have to learn how we travel down life's road through all that life holds, all the good and all the bad, as he addresses it here. Paul knows all this, and he gives us some imperative instructions. He gives us a recipe for a heart of thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to go through these eight ingredients. Normally, I would take about 8 weeks to go through these. We're going to do all eight in one night. But I want you, as you go through these and learn these different recipes, to kind of give yourself a grade. If you're doing great on this ingredient, if you've got a lot of this ingredient that's being stirred into your life, you go ahead and give yourself a 10. If you don't have so much of this, and it's a place you need to grow, well, then bring it on down the scale with the low being a 1. Sound good? So you're going to give yourself a grade. As we go through these ingredients, then we have something to go to God with at the end of our service and say, Lord, here's what I need, and here's what I need to be thankful for. Ingredient number 1. Here we go. Dive right in. This comes to us from verse 14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. Now, gang, the big overarching idea here is to interrelate with each other. This passage runs a gambit on interaction with one another. We are to instruct and lovingly point out weaknesses to each other. Paul mentions the person who is lazy as an example of that. We are not to stand idly by. And we are not to let that person head into a possible pothole in their lives. Instead, he tells us here, we are to engage that person. We are to help them, show them the blind spot in their actions. Others, Paul says, will be timid in their Christian walk. And they need to be encouraged to act on an issue and to act on a situation. They may not have a clear understanding of what they need to do. We may not know what they're supposed to say. And we need to help them enter into that and help them get through that situation, not be so timid. Paul also says to be patient in this process of interrelating with others. I remember when I asked Christ into my life, I had a lot of changing to do, a lot. Now, if my brother Jay, who I was very close with, and he is years ahead of me in following Christ, he had been following Christ for years, if he had that day that I accepted Christ handed me a complete laundry list of all the things that I needed to change, I would probably have gotten overwhelmed, and I don't know that I would have made it all the way through. But he didn't do that. Instead, he was patient. Instead, he helped and watched the change come gradually and steadily. You see, gang, the recipe for a heart of thanksgiving starts with the relationships and the interactions that we have in our lives. All you need to do to prove this is take a look at Facebook Thursday. The number one thing people are thankful for are their friends and their family. Their relationships, even though there are corrections that have been taking place, even though they may have been reproved, they still love the people in their lives, the family and friends. A contented heart, a thankful heart, starts as a heart that is interrelating with others. Ingredient number 2. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, 15 and 16. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. And always do your best to bring that out. Be cheerful, no matter what. All right. Nobody has this problem here, by the way. Ingredient two, we're going to label this, cheerfulness. I find it very interesting how God puts this statement right after the idea of interrelating with each other. Be careful that you do not get on each other's nerves, because you will get on each other's nerves. That's what it's saying. You're going to get on each other's nerves. But be careful that you don't snap at each other. I love this. I love this about the Bible, that it's so honest. We all have our weak moments. We all have our quirks. We all have the gift of being irritating. And it's at that moment, when you are being irritated that you stand at a fork in the road. And your heart will either grow towards wellness and Christ-likeness, or your heart will go down a road where it will cultivate a dark spot of disease. The ingredient for a settled and a thankful heart is found on the road marked cheerfulness. So instead of going down the road of incessant conflict, simply let some things go, man. Just let them go. My brother Jay used to say, don't take the hurt. Don't take the hurt. Be a duck. Let it roll off your back. And let unimportant issues and unimportant details in a story roll off your back and bask in the cheerfulness that you just created. That is an ingredient for a happy heart. I have been around cheerful people in my life. I love being around cheerful people. These are the people who make life easier to live. Their cheerfulness and looking for the best in people, as it said, can make a horrible job an enjoyable job. I'd like to show you one of the most cheerful people I've ever met. This fellow right here, marked cheerful. That's one of my old partners. His name is Richie Fingerlin. He was the best. I just had dinner with him the other day. He's long since retired. He tells jokes all the time. All of his jokes are terrible, but it doesn't matter. It makes you happy. And when I came on the job, this guy saw a very young, yep, that's me up there, saw a very young kid who really didn't deserve to have anybody be nice to him. He was a state basketball champion. And he embraced me like I was his son. And I found out he does that with everybody. Everybody is treated special by Fing. I had to have a CPAP machine. And in the dormitory where we were at, an old building, there was no plug next to the bed that would accommodate my machine. So I was out of luck. Next day, I came to work. We used to do two night shifts in a row. And someone had installed a plug right there, an outlet, for me. Richie Fingerlin. He treated new guys like they were important. And if he had to correct you, because he did know a lot about the job, he would correct you. But he always backed it up later with a gigantic pot of the most buttered popcorn you could ever imagine. And he would sit next to you with his arm on your shoulder, and you'd watch a movie together. That is a cheerful attitude. That man was, for the most part, always joyful, always merry, always jolly, and always laughing. He always wanted to laugh. You knew it was going to be a good day if Fing was at work. Now, I would love to tell you it's because Fing is a God follower that he's like that. But I can't. He's not. And he shows us that we've got a long way to go in our cheerfulness scale. Give yourself a number. 1 to 10, where are you at? Okay, ingredient number 3. It's found in verse 17. Pray all the time, okay? This ingredient, we're going to label it this, calls for us to be in constant connection with God. Be in constant connection with God. Now, we talked about this last week for those who were here. Constantly remembering God. Remember we talked about remembering God and having a healthy fear of God? Well, you can't be ungrateful and you can't be unsettled in your heart when you consider and ponder Jesus Christ. A God who has taken our lives, lives that were confused, lives that was the battery dead? All right. Cool. Ingredient 4. Verse 18. This is where it started, right? Thank God no matter what happens. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ to live. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you need to be thanking God no matter what happens. That's how we live. We'll call this ingredient this. Convinced of God's goodness. That has to go into a heart that's going to be thankful and happy. Henry Cloud this week posted on his Facebook, beautiful, amazing. If you're not following Henry Cloud, follow Henry Cloud. Christian psychologist, he's the best. He said this, thankfulness is being grateful for the good things we have. No matter how big or how small. The opposite of thankfulness, check this out. The opposite of thankfulness is envy, which is where we see the good as that which we don't have. I'll say that again. The opposite of thankfulness is envy, which is where we see the good as that which we don't have. This ingredient of being convinced of God's goodness, this ingredient thanks God no matter what they receive because they are convinced that God wants the best for them and that God is bringing the best for them, even if they don't get everything they want or things don't go the way they want. One of the interesting practices we had this year, my son played football, and it was his last year of football at Belvedere High School. And he was the starting quarterback, and it was the varsity team. And we had a ritual where we would leave the house, and I drove him to the school. He has his own car, but I drove him to school every game because on the way, we would pray. Without fail, we prayed, starting even before the first game. I remember driving on the first game. We were heading to the school. They were going to have an away game in Kenilworth. And we prayed that the Lord would keep us safe, the Lord would keep all the boys safe. And because we are told in the Bible we can ask for things, we asked for a victory. But more than that, we said, Lord, whatever you give us, whether we win or whether we lose, we will be just as thankful. We will We will accept what you give us because we know that's what you want us to have. Sounded like words until we went into that first game in Kenilworth and we came out with a big L. 0-1. There goes the perfect season on day one. We lost. And we were grateful. I saw it. Grateful, thankful, no complaining, no pitching a fit. Instead, we took what God gave us. Then went on a streak of 6 wins in a row. And we're just as thankful. No more, no less. Because we know that if we are to have a thankful heart, a heart that's settled, a heart that's content, you have to learn to be content and thankful when you don't get what you want. And this ingredient is imperative, and it only comes about by being convinced, that God and His goodness are coming at you in however He seems fit. You may not get what you want, but He has given you what He wants, and that's the best. Gang, we are encouraged to ask God for things, but along with that request, we must also pray that God will make our hearts happy with whatever His answer is, and that we will be satisfied and thankful no matter what His provision is for us. Okay, we've been through 4 ingredients. Remember to give yourself marks on these. If you're doing really great on this, get pretty high up towards a 10. If you need work on this, put down by a 1. We're talking about how to cultivate a thanksgiving heart, a heart that is content, a heart that's happy and grateful. And here is ingredient number 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Don't suppress the Spirit. Here's how we're going to label that. Listen to your new heart. Listen to your new heart. We know, here's how it works, gang. We know that when a person acknowledges their sin to God, yes, God, I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I acknowledge that. And then that person accepts Jesus Christ's offer. When they say, yes, I want your gift of what you did on the cross, which is wiping away my sins, paying for my sins with your blood, I want that, and I want you to put your Spirit inside of me. We know that that is exactly what happens. That at that moment, God places His Spirit inside the depths of us, in our soul. And that Spirit is a guiding voice. It is a new conscience for you. It is an enlightener to the truth. And it shows you where danger is. That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ. So we have the Spirit in our heart. This Spirit gives us a new distaste for evil. You will not like things that you thought were okay before. You won't like them because the Spirit is telling you it's not good. And you will have a new appreciation for holiness, being set apart for what God wants us to do, His wholesomeness. When the Spirit shows us something, or when the Spirit tells us to back away from something, or when the Spirit tells us to act on something, a healthy heart obeys that leading. And it doesn't squelch it. It doesn't squash it. It doesn't push it into a closet. It doesn't remove it. Don't suppress the Spirit. What we're saying is listen to your new heart. And this goes hand in hand with ingredient number 6. Thessalonians 5:20. And don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Here's your next ingredient. Listen to a godly heart. Okay, what's the difference here? Well, here's the difference. This ingredient is where God's Spirit speaks to us from someone else's heart, out of their mouth. They have the Holy Spirit in their heart. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Listen what the Holy Spirit is saying in your heart. Also listen what the Holy Spirit is telling you from someone else's heart. Listen to a godly heart. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. This is the instruction that we receive from a godly brother, from a godly sister. And it's all about a thankful heart being open and being teachable when those moments come. Proverbs 12:1 says this, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Proverbs 12:1. No one, gang, no one enjoys being wrong. But we got to trump that feeling with the desire to fix the things inside of us that are tripping us up or that are going to trip us up. The things that are going to sabotage our thankful heart. My friend, years ago, told me as we laid on his front porch having a sleep out at his house, he said, Drew, you are way too negative and way too critical. You love having something negative to say about somebody. You love it. And I listened as the Spirit in his heart spoke through him to my heart. And I'll tell you what, that night, I changed that. I changed it. It wasn't that hard to do. I just had to stop saying dumb things. I just had to stop criticizing people. Wasn't that hard to do? I'll never forget where it came from. He had just bought a Camaro, a 74 Camaro. He put hijackers on the back. He brought it to my house. The minute he pulled up, what do you think of my car? I said, oh, you didn't buy one of those, did you? You know those. That thing got transmission trouble. That thing gonna have transmission. That's what I said about his brand new car. Way too critical. But it all came about with the Spirit speaking from his heart to my heart. And I said, I am not going to stifle those who have a word from the Master. I will instead listen to a godly heart. And I thank him to this day. Give yourself a grade. Two more to go. Ingredient 7. This is from 1 Thessalonians 5:21. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. We're going to label this ingredient as be careful. You can even, I was going to change that, but it's too late. I already printed the outline. Live careful. All right? A thankful and a peaceful heart is a heart that has walked and acted carefully. They have not fallen for untruths. They have not fallen and been tripped up and accepted a bunch of lies. And they do not get tripped up by deceptions. Instead, this heart, a peaceful and thankful heart, they do their homework. They ask questions to gain insight, thereby avoiding giant potholes on their life's road. They are also not gullible as to what they feed their minds and what they feed their hearts. These days, guys, you can pull up a video of a beheading and watch it. These days, you can download music with every foul word and every foul saying imaginable. These days, you can watch sexual sin on primetime TV. This ingredient of being careful, checking out everything, this ingredient says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Don't be gullible about the impact of what you are feeding your mind on, what that can do to your heart. Philippians 4:8 would be your verse. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, Paul says. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right and what is pure, what is lovely and what is admirable. He says, think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and things that are praiseworthy. That leads us to one final ingredient on how to build a happy heart, a contented heart. Verse 21 at D, the D section, that's the fourth quotation, to 22A. Keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. We will label this last ingredient on how to have a happy heart, house clean your life. House clean your life. I'll never forget the story I heard at a conference out in Chicago. They talked about a new CEO being brought into a very, very, very big company, very large company. And the CEO's job was to make this company run better. They were running okay. Very big, widespread company. He says, I can get you guys running great. He made the promise. The CEO came in. Well, he came in, and in a very short time, he had done the evaluation, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to, because of all different things involved in this company, and a lot of different fingers in a lot of different places, if we are going to get rid of anything that does not bring a 200% return, what he means is this. If we're over here and we're selling candy and we invest $1 million every year, we want that million back plus $1 million in profit or we're getting rid of it. And over here, we're making brooms and shovels. If we invest $10 million, we want our $10 million back and we want to make $10 million every year. We want the profit. I think you could call that 200% profit, 200% increase, or at least 100% profit. He wound up selling 80% of the company. The shareholders were going crazy. The people were going crazy. Didn't get rid of the stuff, just sold it to other companies. And in the end, he had a business that only doubled its money on everything they did. And they kept pouring into those things that were running at that level. And he's one of the most highly touted CEOs to date. Gang, we need to throw away the vices in our life. We need to get rid of the compromises. We need to lose the ungodly items in our lives and instead focus and invest and spend your time on what is true, on what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. This is the recipe for a Thanksgiving heart. I don't know how you made out on your list, but my guess is we all have room to grow. We may have a thankful heart the week of Thanksgiving, but that thankful heart needs to be a 52-week thankful heart. And if we are pouring in the ingredients Paul talks about here, we'll see that happening. So tonight, we're going to finish our evening by celebrating communion together. There is no better way to be thankful if you are a follower of Jesus Christ than remembering what Christ did for us on the cross. A heart that is thankful, a heart that is settled and content, is a heart that is constantly remembering what Christ did for them. So, God sent his Son to this earth to repair the relationship we had with him that was broken. And we've done that. If you have not done that, you have opportunity. You can say, as we talked about before earlier in the message, I know I've made mistakes. I know I've sinned. That's obvious for me. Well, you can hand that to God. And he's made a provision for that. He can wipe that slate clean. He can get rid of it all because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all those sins. He paid the penalty. You, by faith, have to merely accept that. You, by faith, have to say, I want that gift. I want you to wipe away my sins by what you did on the cross, Lord. Not by anything I do. I can't be good enough to get to heaven. But you can make me white as snow. Because of what you did on a cross. And at the same time, place your spirit in my heart. Put your spirit inside of me that will show me how to move forward. So that when I look at a list of 8 ingredients, I don't look at foolishness. I look at truth. And I look at a list of, wow, these are things God wants me to be. I'm doing great on a couple of them. But there's some room to grow on others. When we celebrate communion, it's a time where we remember what Christ did on that cross. I'm going to ask, as Kelly plays for you, to spend a moment just kind of talking to God in your heart, settling your heart with him, thanking him for what he's done for you. Thanking him for what he's given you. And then take a moment to say, Lord, I need a little more. I got a number one on something on this list, or two, or three. And I don't want to have a heart like that. I want to have a heart that's like yours, one that's contented, one that's happy. And after you've done that, come on down. Come to the table, so one on each side. Take the bread, take the cup, go back to your seat, and then wait. We'll take those together. But do your business with God now, that we would each have a truly thankful heart. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. And always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and only keep what's good. Throw away anything tainted with evil. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to continue to cultivate and to cook up a heart that's thankful. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for helping us to understand it. And I pray that you would now help us to do it. It's not enough to have the knowledge. Help us turn it into wisdom, knowledge being acted out. And now, Lord, I pray that you would keep us safe as we head into the weekdays. Thank you for what you've done. And I pray that tonight, in this past week, let's put a smile on your face as we remember and we have not forgotten what you did to bring us to yourself. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.